Lord God, as we begin this new year in the season of Epiphany, may the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, show us the places in our lives that need attention and illumine the path that you invite us to follow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The title of my sermon is Beyond New Year's Resolutions, Living a Christian Life That Matters. As I mentioned last week, many of us make New Year's resolutions. Another staggering statistic that I heard this past week, but again cannot be documented, is that if we made a New Year's resolution, 75% of us have already broken it. This morning, I want to talk with you about something which is more. That which gets at the question, what if my life were to end this night? Have I lived my life in the way that I believe God would have wanted? Do I live a life in Jesus Christ that therefore really matters? I think John the Baptist was struggling with that very same question. He becomes the first of all humanity to proclaim the good news of God in Jesus Christ. John is the one who points others to Christ through his preaching, through his baptism of repentance. John calls others to new life in Jesus. He lives and dies a life that really mattered. And maybe it is significant that in the gospel story, we read that this baptizing takes place in the wilderness. The wilderness, not only a real place, but also a symbolic place where so many of us often find ourselves at different points in our lives, a wilderness experience. And we find ourselves also seeking to come out of that place into a life in Christ that really matters. How do we begin? I have never been to the state of Nebraska. Never. Yet to this day, I am a Cornhusker fan. And they lost terribly to USC last week. And the reason stems way back to my childhood and New Year's Eve. Growing up, my parents never missed going out on New Year's Eve. I think it was a New York thing and a generational thing. They went out with a group of friends every New Year's Eve to dance and ring in the new year, and I was never invited. I was left home instead with my sister and our babysitter, and as my sister was old enough to watch me, just my sister, and because I was unfortunately a very good boy, I was left home then alone by myself, something we never would have done with either of our sons. And I watched college football. And in the 70s, it always seemed Nebraska played in the bowl game on New Year's Eve. And I would watch it, and I became a fan. And as soon as that game ended, I would switch the channel at 11:30 to the ageless Dick Clark and watch the ball drop in Times Square. And as it dropped, probably a sure sign that I was going to be a priest, I would make a New Year's resolution on how to be a better person. Not something that most 10-year-olds think about. And I would break it probably that very first week. What if we dared to move beyond New Year's resolutions? How do we take that which we want to change about ourselves and bring it to God? Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "The ancestor to every action is a thought." The ancestor to every action is a thought. And perhaps we can also say, as Christians, the ancestor to every action is a prayer. What is it that you would like to be different about your life? That's the prayer or the thought. It can be something personal. It can be something about your family life, about your friendships. It can be something about your work, about your relationships. What is it in your life that you would like to change? And how would you like that desire to reflect your desire to live a closer life to Jesus Christ? And I can't imagine that any one of us that's here today doesn't have something in our lives that we would like to change. So I want you to reflect with me upon these three very brief possibilities for beginning. First, hold up that thought to God in prayer. This is where you put what is in your heart and mind on the table before God. Another way to think about it is in just a few moments as you come to the altar to receive communion, hold out your hands to God, offering God that thought, that prayer, as you receive Christ into your hearts. So live with that, holding it up to God. Second, if you still feel strongly about it as you hold it up to God, ask God in prayer for your desire and pray for it passionately, always acknowledging that it needs to be in accordance with God's will for your life. I want you to know that prayer can affect the will of God. We're not Presbyterians. We don't believe in predestination. We believe that God's will can be affected by our prayer. God partners with us in prayer. And third, something that I say to people often when they're suffering from disease or from illness or some difficult situation in their lives, I want you to pray to Christ that whatever that is, that it is already being answered in your life. Pray as if it's happening. Know that the seed has already been planted within you and God is answering that prayer. Jesus taught us that what we think about all day long is what we become. What we think about is what we become. Think about that changing in your life. We hear in today's gospel that Jesus comes from Nazareth of Galilee to be baptized by John in the Jordan. And we read that beautiful story that as he was coming up out of the waters, the heavens opened up and a voice could be heard from heaven saying, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." It's the story of the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. Biblical scholar Raymond Brown writes, "It is at the point where the kingdom is making itself felt, but has not yet fully arrived." God's voice, if you will, from heaven is the foundation for Jesus' ministry. It echoes, by the way, the words of a coronation of a king. God's voice moves Jesus into ministry, and it is God's voice that will as well move you into action, move you into making that change that you want to make in your life. You see, to live a Christian life that really matters, our lives and faith have to be more than just words. A number of years ago, I was on a silent retreat in the Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts, a beautiful place. I've only been there that one time. And this was the day where we were being led on a silent but guided meditation. And I found myself praying the words that day, "Lord, call me to the ways and places that you would have me serve." Lord, call me to the ways and the places that you would have me serve. And as soon as those words came out, I wanted to take them back. I'd been a priest for a number of years already, but the power of those words scared me. The thought of fully turning my life and ministry over to Christ was radical. It's radical for us to turn our lives over. Yet that is what it is all about. What really matters is not what we earn, not what we have, not what clubs we belong to, not what recognition we've received, but rather how we have served. Jesus Christ came out of the waters of baptism to serve us. In this epiphany, this season of light, are we willing to find that new way in our lives that will bring us closer to Jesus Christ? Perhaps that new way of serving. One of the things I want you to do this week, if you will, is take a moment at some point that is quiet and sit down and with a pad and a pencil or with your iPad, sit there and reflect and write a way that apart from your family and work, you might seek to make a change to serve Christ. Write down a way that you might feel called to serve, and you've never had the courage to pursue it. Serve to make the kingdom of God felt. That kingdom that was breaking in this morning's gospel is still breaking in today. We all know it's not fully here. And do not wait to be asked. Step forward. And as I was so wonderfully reminded yesterday as I sat in Rupp Arena for the first time, being converted, coming up out of the waters, I realized that it does make lots of sense to say, when we come before God in this way, losing is not an option. Amen.